Man, isn't it crazy how one song can bring back such vivid memories? Sometimes I wonder, do others who were there remember those same things too? Or even if at all? In a small studio apartment in Northwest Phoenix during the early fall of 1989, I found myself sitting at a quaint cafe-style table slid against the kitchen wall with two neatly stacked cassette covers on top of a thin book to the right of my plate. The top cover belonged to Bauhaus's The Sky's Gone Out. We had been listening to it the night before while attendance girl sat at her desk focused on her homework while I quietly reclined in her futon across the room, completely immersed in the hypnotizing and haunting melody of Swing the Heartache as it delicately and slowly weaved through her apartment like a curious, hungry snake. The cassette beneath it was turned around so I couldn't see what it was, and I couldn't see the sleeve. And so out of curiosity, I picked up the top one to see what was under it, and with a surprised look on my face, thought, Motley Crue? Theater of Pain? I yelled towards the open bathroom door. I didn't know you liked Motley Crue. She came to the opening, one hand on the door frame and an eyeliner pencil in the other, and simply said, Home sweet home. As if I should have already intuitively known. And I was like, yeah? Not getting it. She looked right at me and she said, well, you know the part where it says, my heart's like an open book for the whole world to read? Again, I yelled, yeah? Thinking to myself, please, I've heard this song hundreds and hundreds of times. And then she said, well, that line really moves me. It means something to me. And then looking away for a brief moment, she paused as if she were looking into nothing and then disappeared back into the bathroom. I thought about those words as I slowly and deliberately set the tape down, feeling somewhat enlightened because after she put it that way, I kind of felt like I understood what she meant. Then I picked up the book that the cassettes were stacked on, looked at it, and again I yelled at the open door. And what about Of Mice and Men? This time she didn't come to the door. She just kept putting on her makeup and yelled back, I had to read it for one of my classes. She had started college. I think I already mentioned that before. Then she yelled again, you can take it and read it if you want. I'm done with it. And I was like, unconsciously, I rolled my eyes as I randomly flipped through the pages. And then I started reading the summary, but then something forced me to glance up at the clock on the microwave and I yelled out, oh, shit. I gotta go, man. Tossing the book on the table, I jumped up, ran to the bathroom door, gave her a quick kiss and said, yo, I gotta go. I'm late. Then I ran through the tiny kitchen towards the front door. But right before I got to it, I stopped and for some reason looked back at the book, thought for a split second. Then I went back, snatched it off the table and ran out of her front door. Hello, everyone. My name is Bishop Friesch, and wherever you may be watching or listening, let me first thank you very much for being here and welcome you to My Life Through Music, a project where I talk about the songs and music that were either there at the time or describe the thoughts, feelings, or emotions I was experiencing at these particular places and at these particular times. And the song that was there and represents these memories is Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue, released in 1985. Every time I hear this song, without fail, it always automatically takes me back to these memories. And yeah, it would be really cool if this song represented to me some grand return home from a long, hard journey or something like that. But it really isn't that for me. Instead, the nostalgic piano and the perfectly placed power chords really drive home these few memories of this time in my life with Attendance Girl. And to be honest, in my personal opinion, because of his unique pitch and unique tone, I really can't imagine this song being sung by anybody else but Vince Neil. If you've seen the previous video, you'll know that my girlfriend at the time, who I call Attendance Girl in this project, and the reason I call her that is explained way back in a video when I talk about how we first met. Well, she and I have been broken up. We hadn't seen each other for a while, and out of the blue, she came to see me, surprising me at my front door. And after I got over the initial shock of seeing her, we ended up having this very deep, profound, honest, and quite frankly, mature conversation where we talked about several things. One of them being forgiveness, which I'll expand a little bit more later on in the video. But we also opened up about our feelings, what we needed from one another. And in doing so, we both realized this incredible, unexplainable connection that we had at the time. And we still, in fact, needed each other. When you share deep things in your life and you go through certain things with people, whether you attend to or not, you end up developing and forming a bond and a connection with them. And that bond and that connection in some way will always be there. And so as we spoke, it became evident that obviously a lot of things had changed since we were apart. The dynamics of our relationship, for example, had changed for both of us. The things we needed from one another had shifted since she moved to an apartment further away. Our college schedules didn't line up like before, and hanging out became more challenging. We still had fun, but we really had to plan a lot better. She also needed more of a mature form of support, especially after her parents moved back to the Midwest. At that time, I realized that I needed to listen better. I needed to empathize better. I needed to encourage differently. And quite honestly, just be more comforting the best that I could. But at 18, could I be that person? One afternoon, during this specific time, I was bored. I had some time on my hands, and I was in my room, sitting on my bed with a pillow kind of propped up behind me, you know, with my hands kind of clasped behind my head, just contemplating the universe and life. And for some reason, I glanced over, and on the top of my desk, I saw this book that I grabbed off of her table a couple days ago. And so I just leaned over and I snatched it off my desk and I started reading it. At first it was just out of straight boredom, but as I read it, I found myself for some reason getting more and more drawn in. And then all of a sudden I'm shaken out of the book by a knock at my door. "Hey son, you here?" "Yeah, come on in." My dad poked his head in the door and he says, "I saw that your car was here." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just hanging out, man. Everyone's busy or at work." And he's like, "Yeah, it's definitely a new phase of your life. Look at all your friends. Where are they? Where are your friends from school?" Yeah, I know. Most of them are in college or working." And he's like, "Yep, life is changing. This is why I want you to be more focused on the future." And I'm like, "The future." So he looked at the book and he said, "What are you reading?" I looked down at it and I was like, just a book I got from Attendance Girl. And he's like, "Well, what is it?" I'm like, "It's called Of Mice and Men." And he's like, Steinbeck. And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "That's who wrote it, son, John Steinbeck." "How far are you in?" "I just started." Then he said, "When you finish it, come and see me." And then he walks out. And I'm like, I yelled back at my door, I'm like, "Why? What for?" And then he said in a muffled voice as he's walking away,
because I want to ask you something.
And I was like, whatever, it's just a book. So I finished the book in about a day or two, and it wasn't too terribly long. Maybe that's what appealed to me. But the ending was nothing I expected. And so like my dad asked me, I caught up with him one day and I said, hey dad, I finally finished that book. And then without hesitation, he stopped what he was doing. And looking at me, he asked me a question that I'm assuming is probably an essay question on every test that is associated with this book. And he said, you remember the ending, right? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Well, if you were George, what would you have done and why? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I want to get back to the idea of forgiveness real quick. In the case of attendance girl and I, the person I loved at the time, the person who ended our relationship, and for good reason, that person was now part of my life again. Why? I suppose it could have been for several reasons. Maybe there was a sense of feeling that our journey wasn't over yet. Maybe we were drawn back together to perhaps explore even deeper aspects of our connection, because it truly was incredibly deep. No doubt one of the deepest connections I'd ever made. Maybe we had emotional or spiritual gifts to still give and receive from each other. I don't know. But what I think was one of the most important things that brought us back together was experiencing the process of forgiveness. It's not easy to ask somebody for forgiveness, especially when you're young, inexperienced, and think that you know everything like I did. The concept of forgiveness really is a process, and that process and that journey includes a lot of things. It includes introspection, humbling ourselves, admitting our faults, along with admitting the specific thing that we did wrong and acknowledging the weaknesses that we have. Sometimes the weaknesses that we have in our own character sometimes. When we seek true forgiveness from someone, we essentially go through a process of change, not only from within, but in our behaviors without, with the goal of not repeating the things that we're asking forgiveness for and improving ourselves in general. And when we're given that opportunity to ask somebody for forgiveness, whether we go to them or they come to us, we now can begin that process by, again, admitting to that person what we did wrong, owning it, taking responsibility for it, ensuring that we won't do it again, and then making the necessary changes in our lives so that we don't repeat that behavior again. And when we ask somebody for forgiveness, and we do it with true remorse and true contrition, in many cases, you will find that you will be forgiven. But that's when the real work begins. Now, do they have to forgive you? No. People aren't obligated to forgive us when we ask for it, and vice versa. Asking for forgiveness is a personal, voluntary choice, just as forgiving someone is equally personal and voluntary. It's up to the individual. But what happens when someone doesn't want to forgive us? Personally, I feel, and this is important, when someone doesn't want to forgive us, I think it's important that we should still adhere to everything that we outlined in our apology, because not only does it make us a better person, it also shows that person and those around us, for that matter, that our apology was, in fact, sincere and that we honestly meant it. Otherwise, it just looks fake and disingenuous. Sometimes, myself included, we go into the forgiveness process trying to give up as little as possible. Sometimes as if we were in a negotiation, if you will. And that's not going to get us anywhere that we want to be with that person. But if and when we are forgiven, it really is a huge release. the weight that we've been carrying around is finally lifted, and both people can start to move forward. Now, the person who did the forgiving, they also have their part to play as well. If someone has truly forgiven somebody, I feel that one thing they shouldn't do is they shouldn't keep bringing it up again and again and again. And believe me, we could go much deeper into the aspects of the forgiving process. I know I spent a lot of time on this, but the last thing I want to say about forgiveness is, for me personally, sometimes the most important and the most powerful forgiveness that we ask for and that we grant is the forgiveness that we grant to ourselves. There's an excerpt from the book of Mice and Men, and it has always stayed with me ever since I read it. At the end of the book, and I'm quoting from the book, quote, Lenny said, "I thought you was mad at me, George." "No," said George. "No, Lenny, I ain't mad. I never been mad. And I ain't now. That's the thing I want you to know," end quote. And that has always stayed with me. I believe that there's probably many, many reasons why. Privately, I think I may know why, but that's not important right now. But what's important is maybe this song, the song I'm talking about today, Home Sweet Home, does have more meaning to me than just being there after all. Sometimes when our hearts are like an open book, as the song mentions, at that point, that's the point where we are truly transparent, truly authentic, and truly sincere. I don't know, but every time I hear it, these are the memories that come up. And as the lyrics start out, the beginning of the song, it says, quote, "You know I'm a dreamer," end quote. Yeah, I am a dreamer. I've always been a dreamer. And then it says, quote, "But my heart's of gold," end quote. Is it? Is my heart of gold? I don't know yet. I guess that's a question that I've been constantly asking myself over and over throughout my life and over throughout this project. I don't know, maybe by the end I'll have an answer. I don't know. But these are just a few of the many reasons why I have to thank Motley Crue for this powerful, powerful song and why it's right here in my Life Through Music playlist. I'll leave a link in the description below. Well, college life wasn't turning out to be what it was supposed to be, especially from my parents' point of view. Instead of studying and pursuing higher education and higher learning, I basically just met more people to party with, and I had a decision to make. And I plan on talking about that and a little more the next time I talk about my life through music. As always, thank you very much for being here. As always, I look forward to... Very much for being here, and I look forward to... One afternoon... During this specific time. As always, thank you very much for being here. I look forward to seeing you in the next video. Thanks.